Exodus chapter 20, verse 15. This evening, as we continue on in the series of the Ten Commandments, seems like we've been doing this for quite a long time, but we are winding down, getting very close to the end. And this one here is a pretty simple one. It's pretty self-explanatory. I suppose that we all understand it pretty clearly, whenever we reach that age of accountability. I don't think it's something that we have to be told a whole bunch about. Moms and dads, there's something about teaching your kids along this line, but I think for the most part, people know about this one. I think people know about this one. Would you bow your head with me as we ask God's help tonight? Father, we're thankful for the presence of the Holy Spirit that we've already been able to feel. Thankful for the testimonies of your people tonight, and one in word as well as so many in testifying in song and praise and worship. Thank you for the song that we've just heard from these two guys that have spoke also to our heart of your great grace, the omnipotence. Thank you, Lord, that you are who you are. You've given us the Word of God for us to learn and to understand and to live by, and the Ten Commandments are something that are a foundation for anybody. It's been expressed by people that don't even believe that it is a good foundation for someone to live and to build their life on. And I pray for your special touch tonight as we look at this particular commandment. Pray for the divine anointing of the Holy Spirit. Your strength in my weakness being made real. I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thou shalt not steal. If you've never memorized that verse, how many of you think you could memorize it tonight? Thou shalt not steal. There's one estimate that says one out of every 52 shoppers carries something out of the supermarket for which they haven't paid. One out of 52 shoppers. According to the U.S. Department of Commerce, 4 million people are caught shoplifting every year. For every one caught, 35 others get away with it. This means that there are over 140 million incidents of shoplifting every year in America. Now, your thought probably is like mine. Oh, we've got a lot of low-income people. And they need so much. And they're out there trying to get by. 10% of all shoplifters come from low-income people. 70% are middle-class people, and 20% are classified as wealthy. I don't know what that says to you, but it says the facts of it are astounding. It kind of appears that America is a country of thieves. I suppose, though, that if everyone that was guilty of theft were arrested, there wouldn't be any more jails to hold them. We'd be overloaded in our jails by far. Doesn't make it right. Doesn't give us a license to go do it. There's probably not enough arresting officers to even lock them up, or enough lawyers to take their cases. Some years back, a brand new hotel, reported in their first 10 months of operation. First 10 months of operation, they lost 18,000 towels. 18,000 towels. They lost 38,000 spoons. Now, I've never stayed in a high-end hotel where they had spoons worth stealing, so I don't know anything about that. Or they lost 1,500 silver finger bowls. I don't even know what a finger bowl is, especially a silver one. 100 Bibles were stolen in that length of time. Now, I'm thinking that if it was 100 Bibles stolen, it was probably placed by the Gideons, and the Gideons don't call that being stolen. They don't have to go back and do restitution for that. They're kind of glad that somebody takes that Bible and gives them the opportunity perhaps to replace it at some point. 18,000 towels. I have to ask, is anybody here bold enough to, and honest enough to say that one of them was me? I mean, really? And really, I've stayed in a few hotels over the course of my life and stayed in some this year. 18,000 towels from a hotel in 10 months of operation? That's incredible. Did I say at once that almost sounds like America is a country of thieves? I suppose that there's all kinds of reasons behind anybody that's taking something that doesn't belong to them. The sad part is that there's many, many times that people take something that doesn't belong to them, but they have justified it in their mind, and so therefore, it's right, it's good, it's okay, it's acceptable. And so the process goes, and the direction goes, and the habit goes on without any consequence for their own mind or for conscience sake to tell them or declare that it is wrong. But when we see this little verse, this simple verse in the Old Testament, we are reminded once again that God, in his position of superior, his position of all powerful, his position as God, tells us, thou shalt not steal. Stealing is wrong. Stealing is sin. Taking something that does not belong to you is not the way that God designed for humanity to live, for society to conduct itself. Taking something that belongs and does not belong to you is considered a sin in God's eyes. Now let's look at a couple of things, a couple of ways in which it is lawful for us, it is okay for us to get gain, to have gain. You know what I'm talking about? How is it that you can gain something? Well, the first thing would be that God, he's given us the means. He's given us the means or the reward for work. And contrary to popular opinion in our culture today, work is not a curse. Work is not a curse. It means it is a means that has been ordained by God whereby people can obtain the resources that they need in order to function in this world. As a matter of fact, work is glorified by God. Work is glorified by God. It's my dad's favorite verse when we boys were growing up. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 10. Maybe you've heard it. Maybe you've given it to your kids from time to time. For even when we were with you, this we commanded you. Here's the part that was dad's favorite. That if any would not work, neither should he eat. How many of you use that on your kids? Keep using it. It's God's word. There's nothing wrong with work. Now, let me also go just a little bit further than that. As we're talking about work, the reward for work, sometimes the reward for work is not monetary reward. Sometimes it's a spiritual reward or simply a reward in building esteem. My dad never let us as boys in the wintertime gain from shoveling snow for the elderly. We weren't allowed to get any money. They offered it to us, and Dad would say, no, we're not taking it. I'm not sure I understand why Dad was so adamant against it, but it seems as though it's been so infiltrated and so planted in my heart and life that my boys may have got frustrated with me because we've gone around a number of times and places and shoveled snow and did not do it for the monetary gain. wouldn't receive monetary gain. Sometimes work is the reward that comes and goes beyond the means or the receiving of financial benefit. But work is a thing that needs to be taught to our kids as a means of gain, a reward for work. God's will is that we obtain things in life that we need by the labor of our hands. Now, if you're not a laborer with your hands, it could very well be that the labor that you do, the labor that you do is considered the labor of hands. Because you're laboring, you're working. It's a job that brings about a resource to fill the need to function in this world. Another means of gaining or of getting gain is that of a receiving of a gift. Receiving of a gift, the generosity of another person that is giving. Give you a gift, an inheritance, or a beneficiary of a will, or an insurance policy. These are legitimate ways that we would look at and consider as to getting gain. Some people, and there's countless people, that would not be able to survive in life if it wasn't for somebody giving them a gift. As we look at those two things or means of gaining, getting gain, there's also some corrupt means of getting gain. There's also some corrupt means of getting gain. This is by taking something that does not belong to us as our own. It's known as stealing. God's condemned this kind of a practice, and he has declared that his children should leave it behind with all the other works of the flesh. It's not just listed in the Old Testament. We find it in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 28. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Labor, working with his hands. Let him that stole steal no more. You see, that there's the idea that comes right out of this Old Testament four-word commandment, thou shalt not steal. It's a corrupt means of getting gain. Stealing is not only a violation of the law, it's also a violation of loyalty. Stealing is a violation of loyalty. When you're talking about loyalty here, we're talking about an employer and employee relationship. It can go both ways. First of all, as an employee, employee theft costs companies billions of dollars every year, somewhere in the neighborhood of $120 billion. According to the USA Today, a number of years ago, 48% of all American workers took something from an employer that year. Anybody want to timidly raise their hand and say, I've been guilty of that? 48% of all American workers took something from an employer the year before this was given. You know, how do they do that? Well, they do that by taking things home, selling things without their employer's knowledge, and pocketing money and taking kickbacks, or falsifying time records. Yeah, I said that. Falsifying time records. Isn't that called stealing? I mean, really? How about wasting time at work? Is that a thing to be called stealing, wasting time at work? Had a fellow employee back at Kaufman Products. He was in sales, and his sales numbers began to decline, and there was a little bit of an investigation as to wondering why his sales numbers were declining. And when it became known to the upper management that while he was on the phone nearly all of the day, acting like he was selling something, he wasn't selling the product of our company, but he was selling Amway. He was working harder and harder at selling Amway rather than selling our product. They let him go. Effie Marsh preached on this subject, and a young man came to him and said, "Pastor, you've put me in a bad fix." He said, "I've stolen from my employer, and I'm ashamed to tell him about it. You see, I'm a boat builder. And in this boat building business, there's something that is necessary to building our boats." He said, "I work for an unbelieving man, and I've often talked to him about Christ, but he only laughs at me. And the thing that we use in building boats and the big important thing of building boats was these expensive copper nails." I've never seen a copper nail that I know of. "Using expensive copper nails so that they won't rust in water. And so he's been taking some of them home for a boat that he was building in his backyard. You know, here a little, there a little." He said, "I'm afraid to tell my boss what I've done and offer to pay for them because he'll think that I'm a hypocrite. And I'll never be able to reach him for Christ. And yet my conscience is bothered by it all." Some time went by and the man saw the preacher again and he exclaimed, "Pastor, I've settled the matter and I'm so relieved." And the pastor said, "Well, what happened? Tell me about it. What happened when you told your boss?" He said, "Oh, he looked at me intently and said," called him by name. He said, "I've always thought you were a hypocrite, but now I'm not so sure. Maybe there is something to your Christianity after all. Any religion that makes a man admit he's been stealing a few copper nails and then offer to settle for them must be worth having." Maybe somebody here tonight is feeling the prick of the conscience or the memory of that prick of the conscience from some other time where the devil convinced you that if you revealed what was going on, that there would be a horrible circumstance, a bad thing take place. Or I moved to Evansville in January 1995, after working for Kaufman Products for 7 years. Zen management, I had a lot of things that I was free to do and come and go. I got to Evansville and I found in my possession a shovel. And I think I've told this before. A shovel. You see, we had to use shovels to empty out the scrap metal that would be accumulate in the back of the presses, the machines. And if we didn't have a chute to where it would run into a dumpster or a bin, then you had to shovel it out of your machine. And we had a number of these, and they would wear out, and we'd throw them away. And I don't really know what the deal was behind this particular shovel, but I knew that when I got to Evansville and saw that shovel, I knew that it wasn't mine. How do you go back to a former employer? But I did. I did. And it made him so nervous that he said, "Oh, just take that and get on out of here. Just leave. I'll leave it here for you. It's a still good shovel that you can use it." "Nope," he said, just go. It made him nervous. Taking things that are not ours. We are guilty of stealing, whether it's time, materials, the result's the same. Notice what God has to say to the employees. Now, the King James uses the word servants. I don't think that I'm hurting the context in any way by saying employees, okay? You can decide for yourself if I am, but I believe that it's okay to insert the word employees here. Servants or employees, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service or as man pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. Whatsoever ye do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance. for ye serve the Lord Christ. What's he talking about? He's talking about our witness here. He's talking about our influence here. He's talking about us being what we say that we are to our employer, so that the employee is to be mindful of even of this particular subject. Leviticus chapter 19, ye shall do no unrighteousness in judgment, in meat yard, or in weight, or in measure, just balances, just weights, just ephah, and just hen shall ye have. I am the Lord your God, which brought you out of the land of Egypt. The story's been told about a baker quite a long time ago, I do believe, but Baker was taken to court by the flour vendor, who also bought his bread from the baker. The baker sold his bread as a 1 pound loaf, but the buyer said that the baker's loaves were getting smaller. And so the judge asked the baker if he ever had his scales checked, and he said, no, I just check my scales by the weight of the flour that I buy. My 1 pound loaves are equal to the 1 pound bag of flour. Some of us takes a little while to get that, but the guy that was crying about the baker's loaves becoming smaller and smaller was cheating the baker. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not steal. It's really a no-brainer, isn't it? Not only as an employee, but as an employer. How about that? Employer. Is it possible for an employer to cheat the employee? Well, underpaid, overworked, treated badly. All of that is forms of stealing. God has principles that he wants even the employer to live by and to be followed by the employer. You say, well, what in the world? How in the world? And where in the world? Well, let's look at it very quickly here. Colossians chapter 4, verse number 1. Masters, give unto your servants or your employees that which is just and equal. Just and equal. We can see that stealing is violation. It's in violation of the love for God, of a love for God. How can we steal from God and our love for God? Well, Malachi would say that we can steal from God by stealing our tithes, our offerings. However you want to look at that, you can find that in Malachi chapter 3. The reality of it is, the robbing of God is not just in our tithes. The robbing of God is that 100% of what we have is God's. We're just supposed to give back a portion. Everything that I own should be God's. Does God want my four-wheelers? No, he doesn't want them, but they're his. Does God want my truck? Does God want my van? Does God want... No, he doesn't want it. It belongs to him. And whenever I take what is not mine and I call it to be mine... Now, I'm not saying that you're sinning by saying my truck or my vehicle or my four-wheeler. But make sure that we have in our mind that what we have is his. That our hands and what we hold in our hands, we hold it loosely. That God's things, it's God's stuff. God's time. The thing is, you can rob from somebody here on earth and get away with it, but you and I will never get away with robbing from God. Stealing of talents. The Bible's very clear. It tells us that when we're saved, we are given some talents, some things that we can, some certain gifts, from our Heavenly Father. You can read a lengthy passage about that in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. All of these gifts, when we fail to exercise our God-given gifts and talents, we are guilty of stealing from the Lord. Now, that's probably pretty bold, isn't it? But if God has given you a talent, a gift, it needs to be used. Now, your gift and your talent is very likely to be different from the person that you're sitting beside or the person that's across the aisle or in front or in back or whoever else that's in this crowd tonight, that your gifts are somewhat different here and there. You don't have the exact same gift. My English professor in college told me that I had a gift of writing and I needed to write books eventually. I really think that the gift of writing is in Dr. Carl Matlock's hands. The talent that he has is so much different from what anybody could imagine that I would have. Me? Talent for writing? I just was able to write essay question answers, you know, and bore the teacher to death, and they gave me an A. Couldn't do it with a multiple choice or a true or false. I needed those essay questions. Write forever. But Dr. Carl Matlock has a great, a tremendous talent for writing. Have you read anything that he's... I think he's starting to post some things on Facebook under EFM. Tremendous writer. Now, that doesn't mean that any other one of us doesn't have a little bit of an ability that God wants us to use in writing. We just don't compare to that level. And that goes for anything that you can think of, anything that you're thinking about right now. It may not be your greatest gift, but there is something that God wants you to do, and God has given you an ability, and it is yours. God wants you to, and if you refuse to give it to God in use, then you're stealing from him. You're withholding from him what is his, and he wants us to give it to him. Now, we can't really talk about and conclude the talk of thou shalt not steal with going on to finish it up here with what do we do if we have stolen? What is the requirement if we have stolen? Ezekiel chapter 33, verse 15. If the wicked restore the pledge, give again that he had robbed, walk in the statutes of life, without committing iniquity, he shall surely live, he shall not die. He's talking about a restoring of the pledge. Give again that he had robbed. None of his sins that he hath committed shall be mentioned unto him. He hath done that which is lawful and right. He shall surely live. Now, we may not understand that in the wording of the old King James language here, but really it lays a groundwork for us. In the Old Testament, it lays a groundwork for us for a restitution. And we can finalize the picture of restitution after somebody has taken something that they shouldn't have taken. It did not belong to them. In the story of Zacchaeus in Luke chapter 19 and verse number 8, Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. I believe that your witness for Christ is so much greater when restitution is made. Another aspect about restitution is that it very well could be the act of restitution that'll keep you from doing it again. Take that one home with you. You get tired of making restitutions. And it can very well be the means to keep me from doing something again. because I remember how difficult that was to make restitution. Thou shalt not steal. Would you stand with me this evening? Amen. We're getting close. Just a couple more to go. Wow. And then we'll be maybe gearing up and looking at themes for revival, preparing us for revival. Look forward to that if the Lord would continue to lead that way. Amen. Praise God. James Tedrow, would you dismiss us in prayer?